Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's a good show.
Hey guys, I'm Julia McCullough.
And I'm Meg Malloy.
And this is The Soft Spot. You found us again.
Yep.
In your subscription feed.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully you did.
Well, we have a show today that I am, frankly, not excited about.
I'm super excited. We brought back a Soft Spot favorite.
Sean O'Connor. Hi, Sean.
Hi. I'm so glad to be in the two-timers club.
Yeah, you're the first.
You're
like John Goodman on SNL.
Am I the first two-timer?
You're the first two-timer.
I believe that was Paul Simon on SNL. So I'm the Paul Simon of the Soft Spot.
That's why you're wearing this turkey outfit?
Yeah, I'm wearing a turkey outfit. And I sucked a guy named Garfunkel's dick.
What?
They were a couple.
No, they were not a couple.
I'm pretty sure they were a couple.
And we're just going to dive right into what our soft spot is, and it is
trolling me.
Pissing off Julian. Yeah.
And first of all, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel were not together.
I don't know.
It was the swinging
60s. They were a folk group.
Tom and Jerry. They started out as Tom and Jerry.
Is that true?
Yeah, when they were teenagers.
I saw Simon and Garfunkel when they reunited at the Continental Airlines Arena as a senior in high school, and I went with my dad. And my dad did not care about them. I liked them.
To Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah.
And, what year was this?
2003.
Okay.
And we're leaving in the car, and he goes, "That Garfield has such a good voice."
No, he didn't say that.
I swear to God. It's one of my favorite dad moments.
That's why Art Garfunkel wrote that song, "I Don't Like Mondays," right? Yeah. That was him?
Yeah.
Well, let's be a little more specific. A few shows ago, we talked about when you and I went down to La Jolla to do the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And you...
And we passed San Dimas.
That's what it was.
And I had to put the Ataris on.
Yeah, I was like, let's watch Bill and Ted. And she was like, I have a better idea. And it was some
San
crap.
Dimas High School Football Rules.
Is a song, I guess?
It is a song.
It's a song. And see, what's great about that is your idea while driving was to watch a movie.
Yeah. No, I meant like when we get there, we should watch Bill and Ted's or something.
Yeah.
And then it just kicked off you playing, I don't know,
everything,
an hour and a half
everything
of...
I
luckily,
could
we were
think
stuck
of.
In traffic.
Yeah, we were at a, like, dead stop.
Yeah.
And I just put on everything I could think of from, you know,
so I don't know what this genre is called exactly. I just know
also,
it's the one that's like...
You're probably having a little...
I don't like skateboard because it doesn't look like Stevens or whatever.
You're having a hard time relating because Sean and I are very young.
Yeah, we're like far younger than you.
We are class of 03, 04
yeah.
over here.
Uh-huh, and then uh-huh. I feel like we also have an edge.
What?
And,
we
and
do.
Your preferred music taste is like CVS.
Can
we, before we get into mudslinging, can we just get into what it is
how
exactly
young
we're talking
Sean
about?
And I are?
Yeah. No. What is this music
Didn't
called?
Didn't you graduate
and who's like the
high
first
school
one?
In the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What were the 1984 Olympics like? I wasn't born yet.
I wasn't either.
It was a nail biter. Yeah, it was. So, what is it? Power pop? It's power pop, right?
No, it's pop punk emo.
Pop punk emo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what there's a slash in between those two.
And yeah. who's the first band that like decided to put that guitar sound?
I'm
with
just
that?
Gonna put it out there. Although Sean and I might not agree on every single band or album, we both agree that this is a valuable genre.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
And Julian does not.
No, I don't.
Who would be the first pop
I
punk
can't
band?
Stand the sound.
There's a band called The Ramones. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, I saw him live when I was 25 or
something. That tracks. You are super old.
But Joey Ramone was never like, Joey is a punk. Like, he didn't sing
That's
like
literally
that.
What he said.
No. Yeah. He didn't have that vocal, like, affectation that all those bands have.
It's not where all of those bands.
That's kind of where it all started.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fine with the
Ramones.
What
you don't like is, like, the SoCal, like, skate punk.
Yeah, that's what I don't like.
Yeah. And then, but that's also because there's, like, an edge to it. And... And like,
wait, what's that? What's that lyric that you love from San Dimas High School Football Rules? I just want you to know
I have a major crush on you.
Yeah, listen to that edge.
Yeah, I mean,
how do they have the guts to say it?
I mean, when you hear the song, it's just like it sounds harder and like more of
it's a little bit more than saying like, I don't know, how deep is your love?
Yeah,
it's a little.
Yeah,
it's got like, a little bit more.
How deep is your love? That's what you like.
Yeah, but that's an eternal question. I mean, that's a really deep question.
Also, there is something like kind of a appealing as like a 16-year-old to like another 16-year-old song.
Exactly.
When you're listening to like a 41-year-old session musician.
I will admit I listened to Air Supply in high school, which is not.
I mean, when
I'm not who they're for.
When I was 16, I had crushes, and that was about as far as I went. I wasn't ever asking anyone. You know, God, what's that John Cicada song you like so much?
Just Another Day Without You.
Yeah, I was not ever feeling that way. I couldn't relate, so.
And you're acting like, just so you know, I have a major crush on you, is a worse lyric than what you just say.
Huh? Well,
like, they're
the John Cicada song.
They're both hollow. At least this 16-year-old, Chris Rowe, who wrote that, meant it.
This guy is just going like,
oh, will yuppies do cocaine to?
Yeah. Wait, so you've obviously never seen John Cicada sing, because his eyebrows are arched. He's feeling it so hard when he sings that.
I don't think many people have seen John Cicada sing, because...
No.
That's pretty much the only song.
You're gonna get come for on the internet for that by the Latino community. I can see that happening.
Please.
He's huge.
Please come for me.
He's huge.
I forget that the Soft Spot has a huge Latino fan base.
Well, we can count them.
Yeah. They're like, oh, hell yeah. A podcast that talks about Phil Collins? This I gotta listen to.
Which, by the way, if you are Latino and a fan of the Soft Spot, hit me up. I want to know about you, and so I can yell at Sean after this. But anyway, so that's the Ataris?
The Ataris.
That's the Ataris. Ataris.
So name some other bands just so I know who we're talking about here. Who else is like this? MXPX, is that something?
They are something, but they're like a Christian punk band.
They started on a Christian label, so it's kind of like a different
edgy
thing.
The Razor's Edge.
It is kind of a different thing.
They were on the Razor's Edge of Christianity.
Also, like, MXPX would not be on my list. Like,
okay, well, you list some of these bands.
The bands that I like truly worshipped in high school were like... Blink-182 was before high school. That was 7th grade.
Okay.
I was super into Blink-182.
Mm-hmm. I guess Green Day, right?
Yeah, I liked Green Day fine, but they came out at the same exact time as Weezer, and Weezer had way more of an emotional...
A hold on you?
Yeah, an emotional hold on me.
Wait, the Blue Album came out before...
Dookie and the Blue Album came out in 94.
Oh, but Kerplunk was before that, though.
Yeah, that's if you go to a record store now, you can say that. At the time, they were not a...
Kerplunk wasn't like out there.
Yeah, it's like being like, oh yeah, but like, never mind. People heard it, but Bleach came before it. Yeah. It's not the same.
They only that's sold something it, like, that, in Seattle.
Yeah, that's something that you can read on a Wikipedia page, but you didn't know that when you were a 9-year-old with no internet.
Well, I knew it. I knew it because I remember
because you owned a record store at that time because you were so old.
Yeah, well, it was after my first divorce. I decided to do. I just remember Green Day kids complaining in my school that Green Day had sold out when Dookie came out. So I remember.
What?
Yeah.
You must have been really old, because I believe I was in third grade when Dookie came out, and I was like, this is badass.
Yeah, it was badass, because it was also their first time being on MTV, which was Basket Case.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't believe this story about Kerplunk, because
I was in eighth grade.
Like they were huge in America.
I could name you the names of the kids that were mad about it. Neil O'Connor, who you probably know from your family.
Yeah, from my 23andMe.
What up?
He used to dye his hair with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, 0.01% Scandinavian.
Christy Green was complaining that Dookie was a sellout album.
Okay.
And this is in eighth grade. I remember this clearly.
Come on, make up another name.
Christy Green on Twitter.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because...
Bert Kerplunk?
I knew this episode would be a good idea.
All right, so Green Day, but not so much.
But Blink-182. Then the big bands of
Gershwin?
I loved Midtown.
Midtown.
Oh, I loved Midtown.
Midtown's so good.
Our common friend Justin Byrne is friends with a guy that was in Midtown.
Oh, yeah, because he went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
Probably after you.
Yeah. No, Justin went to high school with him.
Oh, really?
So you're correct.
Which one, Gabe?
I don't know.
Let's text him. Let's call Justin in our new segment. Let's call Justin. Oh, by the way, I'm now on the show permanently.
And by the way, Justin is my least talkative friend. So we would call him and he'd be like, can we not do this?
Midtown was huge. Saves the Day. Lifetime.
Love Saves the Day.
Brand New. The entire Long Island. Mm-hmm. I loved it all. Glassjaw. Brand New. Thursdays from New Brunswick, love them. Taking Back Sunday, were the bands.
I loved Braid. I loved Hey Mercedes.
Yeah, see, these are good.
Wait, is that Hey Mercedes or Hey Mercedes?
Hey Mercedes.
Oh, okay.
They were in Braid, and Braid is like proto emo. Like it's the good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like predates Get Up Kids.
It's so nice to have someone so knowledgeable on the show.
Oh, I like that Jimmy World song.
Thank you, Andy Greenwald, for writing Nothing Feels Good, the definitive Bible of all things emo.
Isn't Andy Greenwald in Radiohead?
No, Andy Greenwald has like the Game of Thrones recap show.
Oh.
He writes for The Ringer.
Oh,
now.
That guy, yeah.
But he wrote a book about emo in 2004, and it gives a complete history.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Big shout out. It's probably out of print because no one wants to fucking read it anymore.
But I think this music all has something in common where it's like if you missed it because of a certain age thing, like you're not going to get into it later.
Yeah, you're not going to go back and like figure out.
No.
So what was the first band of, what was your first like introduction to it? And when you were like, yeah, this is kind of who I am.
I think that the first band I liked was probably MXPX.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't into the like Christian thing, and when I learned that, I was honestly kind of like,
yeah,
because there were so many weirdo evangelicals at my school. Yeah. I was like, I cannot be into the same thing as you.
Who are your friends that you were like listening to that with?
Oh, none of my friends liked that stuff.
Really? So you just liked it
not
on your
really.
Own?
Yeah.
No, I relate to this. All of my friends listened to hip hop.
Same.
And I was a pop punk kid.
And I liked some of it, but all of my friends were into like Houston rap. And, you know, it was a real moment for rap music. Mm-hmm. Back That Ass Up was out in eighth grade, and that was around the time I was finding MXPX, so
yeah.
It was a little tough for me to find anybody at the cafeteria who, you know, wanted to talk pop punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all of my childhood friends were way into rap and hip hop, and I went
to you guys are the exact same age, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, Sean's a year older. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you were still 30 when we were born, but
I remember being 7 and being like loving Steve Winwood. I never had a
chance.
And
you were also like, my future wife hasn't even been born.
I know.
Yet.
Well, all my favorite music when I was a kid was about divorce.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, just background music when
it's not
you're
background
picking,
music if you listen to it.
I mean, my dad is a dentist, so for me it's all like going into his office and sitting in his waiting room till he was done operating on people. That's what I think of when I hear Steve Winwood. That's why I only like old Chicago. I like political Chicago.
I like horns Chicago.
Yeah. I don't like easy listening Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, I only like the Chicago Bulls. What up? MJ's.
And the musical Chicago.
And the musical Chicago. See, that's how diverse my music taste is. I like Blink-182 in Chicago.
Were either of your parents, were your parents Sean, and were they influential in your
were they skaters?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But
you're the oldest, but you so you didn't have like an older brother that was like, you know, this is what you should listen to or anything.
No, like basically when I got to because I liked Blink 182, I was like, this is the band, this is like the type of music I liked. Mm-hmm. So I started going to this place called, not Vintage Vinyl, but it was like Rebel Vinyl in mm-hmm. Haslett, New Jersey. I'd be like, I like Blink-182. What should I listen to? And then they would just give me albums.
And then they would just punch you in the stomach. Yeah.
No, because honestly, like, at that time, if you're like an 11-year-old and mm-hmm. you have any interest in music,
yeah.
those guys love
They'll take you under their wing, yeah.
Because I remember being 14 and going to New York and into like a place, and I was like, oh man, is this Arthur Lee in Love? Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I knew that was because it was in Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
And then the guy talked to me for 55 minutes about Arthur Lee.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't like this band. I just wanted to impress you by knowing that their most popular song was their song.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like,
I remember in Philly going into a record store when I was like, I don't know, 16 or 17. And this guy looked so cool. He looked exactly like if I could change everything about myself, I would want to look like that guy that worked at the record store. And so the only like person I knew that I thought was cool enough to bring up was Jeff Buckley. So I was back then, you know? So I was like, hey, do you like Jeff Buckley? Like, and he's like, why do you care what I like?
You know? He's like, are you trying to date me? Yeah. Like, what?
He's like, you can't sit here. But he was like, yeah, he's cool or whatever. And I just would keep asking about Jeff Buckley. And I probably seemed like autistic or something. Yeah. And another thing about Jeff Buckley? And he was just like, there's other music, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know about it.
He's going to drown in 20 years.
But
because I am a child. And it is the 60s.
But even... But even 20 years later, I can remember how awkward that was, that he was like just trying to get me to stop talking to him.
Yeah.
And I just was not getting the message.
And you still aren't.
By the way, like, just because you said you hate like this awful singing voice as you
The elephant in the room for me is like the... I just can't believe he did it.
But at
like,
the
that
same
shit
time,
so like,
I've seen you wear a Dead Milkmen shirt, and Dead Milkmen are mm-hmm. that.
They're the closest thing that.
They're not the closest. They're that genre.
They're I guess
they're
they could,
100% pop punk.
But you know, but they were like way more they were less earnest. They were more like ironic about it.
So are all of those bands.
The sound?
I just want you to know that I got a major crush on you. Doesn't sound ironic to me at all. It sounds like he had a major crush on her.
Yeah, just because that one song that you referenced.
What's the only one I know?
Yeah, like Blink-182, I mean, were the funniest band of the day?
Yeah.
They were
funny. That's true.
I know. Blink-182 jokesters. And
yeah.
they're putting out good music.
Yeah.
No, I think Blink-182 and Dead Milkmen have a lot in common.
I also was like, whoa, you have a porn star on your cover? Edgy.
Yeah. I mean, it was all about like butt sex. And
yeah.
Like, it truly was.
Like... Enema of the State.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, their next, that's what they were called.
Their next album was called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
I get it.
Yeah. I sure hope so.
Yeah, I even slowed it down.
Yeah. By the way, these days... Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't take off your pants and jacket.
No. Do not.
It's not okay
anymore. I believe that was also Louis C.K.'s last special.
Hey, whatever happened to him?
I know.
Is he doing all right?
Just so you know, when I said that, Julian's bifocals fell off.
That's not true. It's a monocle. I'm getting glasses.
Oh, whoa.
I'm blind, getting glasses. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I went and got my eyes tested. It's funny.
Chlamydia. I don't know what I'm doing.
Because, you know, it's been years.
You can only take so many car rides with someone who's very obviously going blind behind the wheel.
Is
before
he a squinter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm, already my eyes don't open, so it's when I squint.
I told him whenever he's tired and his face is all red and puffy, he kind of looks like a baby who was just born.
Yeah.
Like, he has a really hard time opening his eyes.
Sean's been making fun of my tired face for years.
Yeah, so tired.
But was, nobody looks more tired than me when I'm tired.
He literally scares me sometimes when he drives. So we got to IKEA the other day, and I was like, I'm calling around, and I'm making you an appointment.
Yeah. Because I just wouldn't do it.
Lo and behold.
Are you blind? Are you
blind?
You're squinting all the time.
I always squint. Yeah. I guess I'm technically blind. I know. I have bad eyesight.
Uh-huh.
I've used quotation marks. Air quotes.
I think you have a distance thing.
Yeah,
you
I have
can't
a distance
see far.
Thing. I can't see far. That's yeah. really it.
That's me.
Like up close,
I'm
I can see everything. Like honestly, up close. I'm a microscope where I actually see, like, atoms.
You can see the dust mites in my eyelashes right now?
Yeah. It's real gross.
But it's crazy to have the guy, like, they test your shit, and then you, when he fixes it there, like, with the lens, you know, and the face thing, like, to be able to see the letters clearly that you just couldn't see is like, oh, my God, I've been falling apart for, like, 3 years. I haven't been, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. How do you read prompter with bad eyes?
Because it's big and it's far away. I can read far away. I can't read close up.
What?
Well, actually, it turns out I can't read far away either.
I don't think you can read far away either. I was going to say, I don't know about
prompter's
that.
Just big enough, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah, man, wow. What kind of glasses are you going to get?
She gave me her Ray-Bans, so I'm going to put those in. They got tortoise. Are they tortoise shell?
They're tortoise shell Ray-Bans.
I'm going to look. What am I going to look like?
A fucking dork.
No, he looks so cute with them on.
I need to look for, they're going to hide my no eyebrows.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to look, there's like that movie in the 90s that Charlie Sheen was in where he was like an exterminator and there was aliens and he had like glasses. I think you're going to look like that.
Wait, what movie was that? That was, oh man, what's that called? Wasn't he in it with Emilio Estevez?
No, that's Men at Work.
Men at Work. I was thinking Men at Work. I love that.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen, the greatest actor of our generation.
Hey, whatever happened to him? Yeah.
Took off his pants and jacket.
Oh, man. So what would you say your favorite, like, if you had to name, like, top three songs off the top of your head from this area of music,
that's
what would
you do? Because as Sean was saying, it's pop punk and it's emo, but it also splits off into like, you know, like I love Brand New also, and it's a little less whiny and it's not quite as upbeat and the sound is a little different, but it's sort of born of the same.
You can, because like the first Brand New album, Your Fair Weapon, really is like pop punk, like it's pop punk, but their second album, you actually like start to see it kind of be like a perfect gateway into starting to like the Smiths and like Interpol.
Exactly.
Like, it's kind of, it's this weird
place. It's like
place.
You're hearing them grow up.
Yeah.
You're hearing them mature through their sound.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they're now problematic. Brand New.
Are they?
Oh.
Why? What happened?
Yeah, Jesse Lacey admitted to sexual coercion of
a child. I had heard he was
child.
A creep.
Like a child?
A 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
But we call them children in my house.
Nobody argued with you in this room, so.
No, that sounds about right. That checks out, 14, child.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with these bands is that all their fan base is like, when they were out the first time around.
Yeah.
We're all, like, for underage, right, basically?
Yeah, I mean, like, there was a time in high school, I remember a girl I went to high school with, like, hooked up with someone in yellow card.
Oh!
And I was like, we're 16. They're adults.
Like. We're 16. They're beautiful, and I get it. Yeah, was yellow card adults?
I liked yellow card.
I remember
didn't
yellow
love
card.
Them, but I liked them.
Yeah, yellow card was pretty good. They were pop punk with a violin.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I couldn't get all the way through the album without skips, and
I like how they weren't willing to be totally edgy and call themselves Red Card. They were like, this is a warning. Yeah. You guys better behave yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Red Card is like, you know, DC punk in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow
you're
card.
Out of here. Yeah, that's but it goes along with the boy band thing too. It's like, man, those guys, I don't want to know about those, because in the 90s, like, no one was really talking about that stuff. I feel like
I know. I went to a Backstreet Boys concert. I know. Don't be jealous. I went to a Backstreet Boys concert with my mom and my younger sister, and I don't know, I was probably in like sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
maybe younger than that. And I remember thinking, wow, everyone here is my age. This music is made just for like young people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just us and like a couple of moms or dads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Kevin from the Backstreet Boys.
Problematic?
No, he must have been like 45.
I know. Oh my God. My mom was like, the Italian looking one is so handsome.
In the Backstreet's Back video, he has a cane, and I don't think it was professional.
I always thought Jordan looked like a villain from a Harry Potter movie.
Jordan.
Isn't he the tall one?
As in.
And from New Kids on the Block.
I'm so old. I'm thinking of Kevin.
Is that Kevin?
Is Kevin the Jordan?
Yeah, Kevin's kind of the Jordan.
Kevin's got some pretty extreme cheekbones and like a...
He looks like a Magic Mike type.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Jordan was kind of the safe one.
Jordan Knight, of the New Kids on the Block. No,
like, Donnie was the bad boy.
Joey McIntyre.
Joey McIntyre was the cute one because he was like.
I thought cute was safe.
No, the safe one who's like, he could be your best friend, but he also fucks.
that's safe?
Yes. Being like, oh, you could tell him your secrets.
No, he's the guy that's like.
And he'll want to fuck you.
No, the safe one is the guy that's like, I'll drive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's kind of like that. Then there's the ugly one, and that was Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Backstreet Boys, it was AJ.
I know. Well, AJ also looked old as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like a heroin addict or something. Like, he had, he'd been.
Which ironically keeps you looking young.
He'd been living like he was in Motley Crue, but he was in the fucking Backstreet Boys.
I think Backstreet Boys is definitely the band that had like the least background checks.
Well,
they were assembled in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh.
Assembled in Florida by a pedophile.
Exactly.
They had.
The odds are not in your favor.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're a borderline runaway.
They're like,
come and join our cool dance group.
No, I feel like NSYNC were the Runaways and Backstreet Boys were his peers. That he was like.
I mean. Here's the thing. NSYNC had the luxury of having two members of the Mickey Mouse Club, so you knew they were kind
of... It's true.
Yeah.
There was some star power there.
Yeah. Wait, who's the other one?
JC.
JC.
Oh, yeah.
JC Chazay.
Man, what is
Justin
it really
Timberlake?
Like to be those guys as you get older? Like, the ones that don't get famous. It's got to be brutal.
Oh, you mean like Joey Fatone?
Yeah.
Like, his shining moment after all of that was having, like, one line in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, man.
No, his shining is My Mother's Meatballs, which is his cooking show on the Cooking Channel.
Really?
I love that Sean knows this.
He goes around.
Does he say, that's a mom?
My mother's meatballs. He just goes and meets home cooks and finds out like what their specialty is.
Oh my god.
So he's
like a DIY Guy Fieri now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
how the mighty have fallen.
I mean, he dated, by the way, like, I think this is really just going into our soft spot, which is, I guess, you know.
Good, bad stuff?
Yeah, good ass music. Joey Fatone dated a one-hit wonder in the 90s who sang Crush, which is like one of my
favorite. Jennifer Page!
Yeah,
whoa.
Jennifer Page. That song.
That's usually what I'm good at. Good
rules.
Job, babe.
Rules.
Yeah.
What a good song.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
I remember when that song came out, I was like, who is this? Like, I was like really blown away by it.
Yeah, Joey Fatone's girlfriend.
The 90s were so weird because they had that. Like, there were so many songs like that were so distinct to themselves. They didn't sound like everything else on the radio. And then they were all hits. It was crazy. It was all over the place.
I heard that song and I was like, she's going to blow up.
Yeah.
She's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
She's this sexy, whispery voice. And then who knows what happened to her.
I know. Yeah.
Like, Joey made her into meatballs.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, they're girlfriends. Joey Fatone's was... one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Jessica? Carter was Willa Ford.
She was a one-hit wonder. I was always like, what a hot slut. loved her.
Willa Ford was like Samantha Fox.
She really was. Yeah, yeah. Of course, yeah.
America just wasn't ready for her. Yeah. Willa, if you're out there, come back, girlfriend, because I think we're ready.
Mm-hmm. She did what Samantha Fox did, where like all of her songs were like, "My pussy, my pussy,
my pussy is so hungry."
Nom 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 nom.
Want to see it? I remember, man, Samantha Fox was right before I was ready for that. So I remember being like, "I think I'm gonna really like this, but I'm not ready yet."
Yeah, I remember being like 19 and listening to Touch Me by Samantha Fox and my penis flew off and around the room like a balloon.
Your mom's so protective of you. She's probably like, Sean, come get your dick. Did your dick fly off again? Yeah, Willa Ford, I don't remember what she looks like in my head right now, but I remember that name makes me go, oh, she's hot.
Hot bad girl.
Yeah. She looked like a sexy lion. Like she had
hair.
Yeah, like lots of hair, and it was like, basically like, obviously, whoever
and this
did
is
her
Nick
hair,
Carter's girlfriend.
Yeah, whoever did hair and makeup was like, give her like just
give
had
her the
sex
works.
Hair. Like, so that's what she looked like, and like she wore like a corset in her first music video to let people know.
And remember, everybody back then also wore their pants like just above their butt.
Oh yeah, that was that terrible trend.
You would always see like the hip
little
bone,
a little bit of hip bone,
those low rise pants from back then. I remember being like, this trend is taking forever. And I was like the age of when you were supposed to be doing it. And I felt like an old man being like, when is this going to be done?
She had like a barbed wire tattoo on her arm. I was thinking, I know she had a visible tattoo. What was it?
She was like if Pamela Anderson could sing, basically, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Willa Ford was a little too fast for me.
Yeah.
I was more of a Mandy Moore guy.
I was a Mandy Moore girl. Oh, my God. I loved A Walk to Remember.
Oh, Mandy Moore was perfect.
The one she's in with Allison Janney?
You know what's so funny? Can you think of a title for a movie that's less, like, dangerous than A Walk to Remember? Hey, remember that walk?
Yeah. Well, it's
because... What's it about?
She's dying of cancer.
She's dying. She's dying, and she's getting bullied.
Yeah.
And she's just like a victim in every way possible.
Man.
And she's still nice.
And then to get it back on punk, her love interest is Shane West. You may know as the lead singer of The Germs 4 years ago as Shane Wreck.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
So the Germs are one of the best bands of all time.
Okay.
A punk band, early 1980s, Pat Smear.
I've heard of the Germs, but I'm like, that doesn't make sense for Mandy Moore.
So they made a movie about the Germs, and Shane West played Darby Crash. But then the Germs actually reunited, and Shane West was their lead singer.
Oh, really?
As Shane Wreck.
Oh, that's fun.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, they should have had that dude that played Ian Curtis in Control be the lead singer with New Order and then bring Troy DeFish back. I'm sure nobody would have been mad about that.
He was so good.
He was so good at that, though.
He was so good.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think of the... Because I feel like you guys are constantly shitting on me for my music taste, and that's fine, but... we are capable of liking great music and terrible music.
I just had to say it. How to Deal was like the edgier Mandy Moore film.
How to Deal?
How to Deal.
What's that about?
Her mom is Allison Janney, and she's like a latchkey kid. And
how long has Allison Janney been a mom in movies?
And she like cuts her hair into a pixie, and she's like bad, but not really that bad. And her best friend is pregnant, and they're like, I don't know.
I don't know how to deal.
I don't know how to deal.
But then they learn how to deal.
Right. They do learn how to deal.
I know. Yes, there are some things that we all like.
But you know what's funny is I think that this music that we started talking about is terrible. It's not good. And you guys think it's actually good or you think you like it?
I think it's actually good.
Mm.
Here's where it gets very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Is either either. Mm-hmm. You don't
keep
like the
keep in mind that I took philosophy of art in college for one semester.
Cool, but you can't spell enterprise.
Yeah, it's enterprise.
Yeah. Either there's one of two things. Either you don't actually like the music you say you like.
Like what?
Like
Phil Collins.
I love Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, Steve Winwood, and all that. Mm-hmm. Or you're pretending to like the other type of music you like, which is like, you know, like Joy Division and David Bowie and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Because the music that we've been talking about has far more in common in their
exactly.
DNA.
For a young person to mature into a Joy Division fan mm-hmm. or, you know, a Cure fan. I mean, I liked The Cure and David Bowie all along. I never was super into John Cicada, mm-hmm. so I have a little bit of trouble bridging that as well.
Well, I didn't have like a John Cicada poster in my room or anything, but when the song comes on, I'm like, this is a banger.
The song only comes on when you put it on.
I mean, that is true. Like, what's the name of the song?
Just Another Day.
Another Day.
I'm actually interested to see how many listens it has on Spotify.
Oh, it's probably got like 85 million or something.
At least half of them are from Julian.
It's J-O-N, right?
Yeah, J-O-N-S-E-C. This could be PM Dawn. It could be Maxi Priest. You don't know. Oh, wait, it's John Cicada. Ooh, it's so good. Don't you just want to shop at CVS right now?
I mean, it does take me back to working at Eckerd.
I can't believe you don't like this.
I literally
feel... It sounds
feel...
like HBO Real Sex interstitial.
All right.
Like a guy's about to have sex with a horse, but first... Here's some squiggly lines.
Just Another Horse. Okay. Anyway, that's the song we've been talking
about.
Yeah,
that's bad.
In case anybody was dying to know.
Postal Service.
Is that jazz fusion?
I think so.
Wait, what album is that on? They only had one album.
They only had one album.
It will probably...
They only needed to have one album?
Yeah, it'll probably be on the deluxe edition, maybe towards the end.
When did this come out?
I don't know, 2004?
It was for a movie called Wicker Park.
It was on the soundtrack.
Okay, here we go. This is...
I will
he sang it through a phone.
I will ride for this song.
Yeah, that's what the Postal Service did.
Yeah. They would sing through a telephone?
Well, yeah, they lived in two different parts of the country, so half of the beats would come through... The mail at the time. The postal service.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. I didn't know that. Did you know that song, Your Woman by Whitetown, another 90s song that doesn't sound like anything else on the radio? That he did sing that through a phone.
Yeah, and it fucking rolls.
Yeah. This is good. I like this.
Yeah. Devendra Banhart released an entire album that he sang into an answering machine.
Oh, wow.
Devendra Banhart.
But what
Houston.
Was the question? Yeah, that's good.
Wait till the beat drops.
There's a beat drop in this?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he uses vibes. But
you'd be shopping at a cool-ass CVS.
I know.
But here's the thing. Like, this just shows what a great songwriting talent Phil Collins was, that this song is so good.
That it can be improved?
Yeah. I hate you guys so much. We're going to cut this episode short.
I wish I could just make you turn around. It's so good.
Wow, I've never heard this. So
much and to say to how do you
cool.
feel about it compared to the Phil Collins version?
I like it because I'm open-minded and not an asshole like you two.
And if you want the studio to be improved, MGMT covers it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really good.
I was going to say it'd be so funny if the beat drop in the cover was the beat drop from In the Air Tonight instead.
God, I do love that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
There's no denying.
Well.
That's a good joke. That's a good bit.
That is a good bit.
It is.
Yeah, but I think you should.
if I were a teacher, like one of those like huge like Tiesto or whoever the fuck, I would every single time you get that like, what's that called where they like get the crescendo going with no beat forever and they keep drawing it out and drawing it out and people are gonna like
the
they're
drop?
Waiting. No, no, but right before the drop, it's like they try to extend it.
You know
forever.
What I'm thinking about? I'm thinking of Emerge by Fisher Spooner.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, but it's like
where it's like 2 full minutes.
Yeah,
of...
the like longer that they can keep that tension going, like the better.
I'm thinking of that Rihanna song where it's like bing 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 bing
bing bing bing bing bing. Oh yeah.
Yeah, like that.
But just right. I know exactly what you're talking about. What's that song?
It's something Diamonds. Diamonds.
But the fun.
Diamonds
are
Ariana's best friend?
It would be fun to be one of those enormous, like, arena DJs. And then, like, every time the beat drops, it's just In the Air Tonight every time. Would be great.
I wish that could be, like, my phone ring. I really hate when people have songs, but I feel like no one would ever really get mad at that.
About the. The Phil Collins drop?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, people would love it.
I did have Africa by Toto as
well. Yeah, that's her alarm.
Yeah,
it's
Africa.
My alarm.
That's like one of the only good songs from the Julian genre.
It's just a pleasant song that I never get tired of. Mm-hmm. And I can wake up to it and not be like, fuck this song.
Yeah. I love when they ask the guy from Toto that's not Jeff Porcaro, they go, what?
Of course you know their names. I think everyone else just calls them Dad?
No. But they go, what is Africa? And he goes, it's the sound of a white man who's never been to Africa. Talking shit about his brother who wrote it.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about Lola. It's a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes.
That sounds nice.
Shut up, Julian.
Okay.
The FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. Major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester. Their feminine care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, and dyes. I personally have always kept it organic down there. I'm not into the dyes. I'm not into smelling like I have a scented plug-in down there. I just want to keep it clean and natural. And, of course, I love supporting a company that was founded by women. Lola makes your month a little bit easier, too. The subscription is fully customizable, and you can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. The subscription is super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. For 40% off of all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter SOFT, S-O-F-T, when you subscribe. So go get 40% off, ladies, and keep it clean, keep it natural down there.
Hey guys, we want to tell you about FabFitFun. The fall box is now on pre-sale. Boxes start shipping August 20th. Reserve the highly anticipated fall box today.
FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box that delivers full size. I'm talking full size, people, no samples. Fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products.
They deliver it 4 times a year for just $49.99 a box. I mean, this is so exciting, but... because I love getting stuff, but I also don't fully understand what's in this box, if you want to tell me a little bit more about it.
I am a total Glam Glow addict, so I'm super excited. There's going to be a Glam Glow bubble sheet mask, and I've gotten you into the sheet mask.
You have?
We're totally a skincare-obsessed household.
I don't have any pores left.
You don't have... You never had any pores to begin with. So annoying. I've got all the pores. I've got enough pores for both of us.
Oh, you poor thing.
Okay. There's a Beauty Blender Pro. Julian, what do you think a Beauty Blender is?
It's when you take two beauty looks and then you mash them into one look, like a British pop song.
Wrong. Oh. A Beauty Blender is a thing that I've used on you for television and other events. And it's what we use to flawlessly apply your foundation and, you know, to take away your redness and make make you look all nice and airbrushed when you go on TV.
Hosted Shark Week, for example.
Yeah, no big deal.
All right.
Don't want to name drop, but there it is. Shark Week.
What else is coming out?
There's
this thing?
Tons of other good stuff in here, and the value of this box is crazy. The value of this box,
these numbers can't be right,
is over $275.
How does this place stay in business?
Some boxes go up to $400, and it's definitely true. The last box was around $300 worth of stuff, and I found I found out of that box four new products that I will definitely be like, you know, they're like definitely my jam. I will keep buying. So it's,
and we're washing the girls in the body wash.
Yeah,
right?
They love the body wash. There's so many good things in here, and it's just a great way to find out about new like premium beauty products and wellness products. We use the trigger ball. Mm-hmm. It like fixed your back.
I know. I don't have any knots in my back. So sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. This company is very successful.
Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 worth of stuff. Closer to $300 worth of stuff. Let's be real. For
it's
only
incredible.
$39.99. So go to FabFitFun.com and use the code SOFTSPOT to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
Go do it. So what would you say is your worst... Let's just do this, and then I think we should close out because I'm tired of you people. No, I'm kidding. I'm having fun. What do you think is the worst song that you actually like?
The worst song that I actually like?
Mm-hmm. Like, are you even able to admit that anything you like is bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Teen Wolf. I love Teen Wolf. That's a bad movie. But the worst song that I like is probably... that's a hard question.
It's a really hard question.
Probably Taking Back Sunday, Cute Without the E, Cut from the Team.
I was just singing this in the car.
Is that one of the top songs?
Oh, it will probably
you
be their
heard it.
Number one
I
song.
I did?
It's definitely the number one.
It's definitely the worst song that I like. But
there it is. It's number one. 47 million plays.
Yes. Three times better than John Sakai.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, is this... This isn't...
It's called Don't Bother, Rachel. I know exactly what goes on.
This just sounds like a bunch of ollies not being landed to me.
Here's the thing. John Nolan, their guitarist, who does the screaming, a great musician.
Okay.
Which would you prefer? My finger on the trigger or me face down across your floor?
But you're admitting that this sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so long as this gun's loaded.
Meg, your emo face is so cute when you sing hard. It's so cute.
So I saw Taking Back Sunday live last summer. They did like this like weird emo festival in San Bernardino. And all of like me and a group of friends went that were obsessed with these bands.
Uh-huh.
And they were by far the worst band we saw.
Oh, really?
Because, like, they have not aged well at all. And, like, he's now trying to be David Lee Roth.
Oh, no.
Adam Lazara. And he was like, we were there for you when you lost your virginity. He was like,
oh,
talking
no!
like that. It was like, we're here for you now. It's like, oh, this is disgusting. But Dashboard fucking killed it.
I loved him. Chris Carrabba, right?
Yeah, Chris Carrabba.
God, I love
him. Who's also in Further Seems Forever, who is also a Tooth and Nail band.
I love that you guys are naming all these dudes' names, and you're like, Adam blah, 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 whatever. I knew the name of the guy from fucking Toto. And you're like, who? Nobody knows them.
Yeah, because it's age-appropriate for us to know it.
Well,
like, I think literally there's probably like a guy who tours playing bass who doesn't know that guy showed up.
That's not true. That's not true. Wait, what was the one you just said?
What was that? What was that dashboard?
Newfound Glory?
Song
is that what you just said?
I like Newfound Glory.
Oh no, Dashboard. You were saying Dashboard.
Yeah, Dashboard.
What was that?
I remember hearing the name Dashboard Confessional and being like, I guarantee you I hate that band.
But I also loved all of the Saddle Creek bands.
Oh, well,
still
yeah.
Do.
I
mean,
well, I like Saddle Creek. Yeah, that's
yeah.
fine.
No, Saddle Creek's...
But what's, Saddle
what's
Creek,
the Dashboard
I believe,
song
was born
that we should
of...
play?
I mean...
What's the biggest the, one is Hands Down.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was probably...
That'll jog some memories.
Yeah, that was a huge hit.
Crank it up, man.
It's up. I think it's a slow. It's one of those slow builds, you know. Oh my God! Luck. It's all the same band. Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh.
This sounds exactly like the last song.
Sounds nothing like that.
No,
he's so much softer.
You have to realize also when Dashboard became a full band, he just took the people from the Promise Ring. And
oh, do I have to realize that?
Yeah. So he's actually kind of smarter than you think he is.
I mean,
we're doing nothing at all. My hopes are so high that your kiss might kill me.
I mean,
so I die happy.
Totally better than Toto.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Awful. You know Toto was the backing band on Thriller, right?
Yeah, you keep saying that like it's supposed to like impress me. I'm like, no wonder that is a weak ass album.
Okay, what's another? What's the one? I think I can't. I know that I've been talking shit about all these bands. I actually am starting. You guys, your guys' joy is a little bit infectious, and I'm getting into it a little bit, even though I'm 28 years old and way too old for this music.
Go to Get Up, Kids.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was one of my favorites.
I'm a loner, Dottie.
But aren't the Get Up Kids?
Oh, my God.
The Get Up Kids
actually,
are better.
Holiday is...
Aren't the Get Up Kids better than all these other bands?
No, they're of the
they're
same.
They're all
the same.
The same.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a loner, Dottie. You'll probably recognize this song.
It's on Something to Write Home About.
And this was from the Pee Wee's Big Adventure soundtrack? What album would it be on?
Something to Write Home About.
Oh, okay. Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Sorry. Got it. I'm a loner, Dottie. A rebel is the full title.
I saw them live twice last year. Both times amazing. They're a little bit fatter, but they still rock.
A little bit fatter, a little bit dadder, but they're still going. It's all the same guitar sound, though.
I don't
it's
think
fine.
It sounds
I like it.
Anything like the
I'm
other.
I'm starting to
I
like it.
I don't either.
So these guys came from the Promise Ring?
No, Get Up Kids are...
They're just their own thing.
Yeah. From Kansas
so
City, Missouri.
This? What year is this?
99, 2001.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I was listening to Rage Against the Machine then.
Come tomorrow, I'll be on my way back home.
See, this is good. This is a little more soaring. I like it a little bit more that way. It's
okay.
not... This isn't about a skateboard.
No, it's not about a skateboard.
Well, most of these bands didn't actually sing about skateboards.
No, I know.
They just sounded like
keep
skateboards.
Saying that.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, like, truly, I think
it's all about crushes mainly. Right?
Yeah, if you broke it down, it's probably like 85% about love. 10% about like
being grounded.
Being friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then like 5% about burritos.
I know it wasn't always deep, and that's what I liked about it because it was relatable at that time because. You know, you feel a lot of deep stuff, but also you're kind of stupid when you're a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I was...
And they're like they truly are like all these bands were a perfect entry level to like indie music and like all that stuff. Like, I mean, Brand New had a song that like was just all about making a mixtape for a girl you just broke up with and putting the Smiths on it. As a fuck you.
Yeah, they were basically writing songs directly at teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because...
And I was there to eat it all up.
I
loved it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because a lot of them were teenagers.
Yeah.
And put on Saves the Day.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere With You.
This is going to ruin my Spotify for
it's
like...
It's really not, because Anywhere With You, you're going to actually be kind of impressed.
No,
with
I mean that I'm searching all these bands.
It's an amazing song.
It's going to... Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's it called? Rendezvous?
Saves the Day, Anywhere With You.
Oh, Anywhere With You. What album would that be on?
In Reverie.
Oh, yeah. In Reverie is like this.
2003.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect.
Oh, top track of, or first track of the album. Well, this is rougher. This sounds like the Breeders. Oh, no, no, no. Stone Temple Pilots.
It's about
not
to
really.
Not.
Not anymore.
New Brunswick, New Jersey, baby.
Oh, yeah? Oh, there's Saves the Day? I bought a Saves the Day t-shirt in New Brunswick one day because I didn't know who they were. And I was like, I like this shirt. And then somebody was like, you like them? And I was like, I don't know. What do they sound like? And then I was like, oh, I can't wear this shirt.
Oh.
I have so many Saves the Day shirts.
I just realized you can't wear a band shirt. You don't know the band. I like this. This is New Brunswick? Good for us.
I know. I'm so bummed out.
Were they Exit 9 Records?
No, they were on Equal Vision, and then they were with Vagrant.
Wow.
Okay, and here, this is another band that was so important to me. Okay. Thursday, Understanding in a Car Crash, another New Brunswick band. Just saw them live, and they ruined a good night.
I want to see the picture of these guys. Oh, that's definitely old. Spotify calls this post-hardcore.
Yeah. They were emo as hell.
Formed in 97. They were formed while I was a freshman at Rutgers. Wow. I could have hung out with these guys.
You could have been in the band.
You probably did.
I probably did.
Split a piece of glass falls in a sea.
No, I don't know these guys. Broken windows open.
Trying to think of who else.
So emotional.
Yeah. I cried to this album many times in high school.
Did you know Sean's a crier?
Not
no.
anymore. I'm emotionally detached.
Yeah, he used to be a big crier.
Starts and stops and starts and stops again.
Another band that totally is not, well, they're not at all related, but I loved Rilo Kiley.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of women in this world.
Well,
performers.
Yeah. There was a band called Isley.
You guys were like, whoops.
We listened to Isley the other day.
I liked that a lot.
And you were
right?
like, this is amazing.
I really like that.
It's one of my wife's favorite bands of
I
all time.
I love Isley.
And Isley kind of got a little fucked over.
Oh, that's your phone just going off.
And it's all right.
Phoenix TX. My phone knew.
But Isley kind of got fucked over because they basically were these just the most beautiful girls.
Uh-huh.
And every band would
Angel
just...
Angel voices.
The Isley Brothers? Is that who you're talking about?
They would just... They would just open, like, everyone would be like, I'm going to try to have sex with these Christian girls. They're
exactly.
going to open for us. And they kind of, like, never got to...
Oh, that sucks. I found him. Okay, I just want to play this because it's ladies, finally. And we should... what's a good song? There's Ambulance, A Song for the Birds, Louder Than a Lion, Always Wrong, and Marvelous Things.
I think was probably the most popular.
But here's what's cool about this. So it was very, like, dude heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But the genre is still around now, and it's kind of all women now.
Oh, really?
And it's, like, better.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, no, this is, like,
this is
good. Yeah, no, all the songs we've just listened to
so
are good.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, these guys are great. What year is this?
2002?
Oops.
2003?
He'll never hear this, but shout out to Nate Fernald.
Why? He loves these guys?
Isley's one of his favorite bands.
Oh, okay. What do you mean he'll never hear this? He's a friend. He should be listening.
I just know him.
The first one is 2005.
Okay.
This is 2005.
Okay.
If you are still listening, thank you so much for listening to our final episode of The Soft Spot.
I had fun.
You had fun. Sean, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And bringing your passion with you.
Yeah, next time we'll talk about Diane Keaton.
Yeah!
Yes, yes.
Wait, what movie should we do?
We're going to do book club.
Are we still going to do book club? No one saw that movie.
I know, it's perfect.
Okay, well, if you're listening,
we're
going to
be doing a review of book club.
We're going to review it. We're going to review it serious. Like movie, like film critics.
Like film critics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, that was a soft spot, guys. Thanks for listening this week. And
I'm sorry.
No. Well, why are you apologizing if you love the music?
No, I love it. I just, you know, I get so impassioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like we ripped on you too much to start the show.
I know.
So, yeah.
No,
I'm
like,
sorry. You're crying.
It's okay. I'm easily the least popular person on this podcast. But I do want to make a video.
I believe it was abrasive that you were called.
I know. I want to make a video of you singing to this stuff because I think it'll be a huge hit on Instagram.
Great. Yeah. Can't wait.
All right. Thanks for listening. Tune in or rate and review
Shut
us
up,
on
Julie.
iTunes. Goodbye.
Soft spot.
It's a good show.